Be preaching from Hosea chapter number 10 this morning. All right, we're going to get to our text here in just a minute. If you're in Hosea chapter number 10, I will point you in just a minute to what we want to look at, unless you know your Bible and you'll know where we're headed. But we're coming into springtime. I know that our weather can't make up its mind. I know we keep going from 65 and sunny to 30 and frost again. It keeps going back and forth. I know that, and it's frustrating. That's one of the reasons so many of us have dealt with this cold and this sickness. The weather keeps changing its mind. But, you know, regardless of how strong winter wants to hold on, spring's coming. Amen. Spring is coming, and we're looking forward to that. I know that. Matter of fact, if you have been driving around on any of our country roads in this area, somewhere around the county, you have had the privilege of seeing and maybe smelling the farmers who are putting fertilizer on their fields already. They're getting it out, and they're putting the fertilizer in and churning the soil up. And, you know, you drive by that, or if you happen to live in the proximity of some of those fields for a few days, you get to smell it. And that can be not so pleasant, unless your, you know, smeller is broken. But some people, they have that blessing, not being able to smell. But you've seen that. They're getting ready. Now, I know that if you've been in church any time at all, you know that the Jewish people were a farming or agricultural people. They were either animal herders, sheep herders, you know, herdsmen of some kind, or farmers. And throughout the scripture, you'll see over and over again illustrations that the Holy Spirit of God directs the man of God to write in his book using farming. Using that application because he knew that this group of people would understand that and it would hit home for them. It would make sense and they would be able to discern what it is God was saying. In today's text that we'll read in a minute, the prophet Hosea is doing just that. This prophet, a prophet with a tender heart, called to the northern kingdoms, one of the two prophets sent to the northern kingdoms in a time of great sin and wickedness, sent to preach the word of God to a people that were backslidden. Hosea tries to get people to understand the condition of backsliding. He wants them to understand how their relationship with the Lord has become cold and hard. And he talks here in our passage that we're going to read about the ground. And I think that most here would know that when Hosea is referring to the ground, to the soil, he's talking about the heart of man. He's talking about us and what's going on in our heart. Look in Hosea chapter number 10, verse number 12. He says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your foul ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." If you're at that passage of scripture, would you read it together with me? Hosea chapter number 10, verse number 12. "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your foul ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." You see, all through the scriptures we have illustrations that deal with this farming idea. He says here to break up your foul ground. Break up that ground that has become hard. Much like the soil in the fields was soft, was pliable, was fruitful and profitable last year. I mean, the ground was so soft, if you would have driven out into some of those fields, you would have sunk your truck into the axles. Except for Brother Wilby's Humvee. He could have kept on going. But most of us, we would have been stuck there for sure. The ground was just soft. You see, but what happens is over time, the ground becomes hard. Now stay with me for a couple of minutes as I kind of lay some foundation here, as I maybe take just a minute, and I know it's a little early to jump into the preaching, but put your brains in gear. I want you to understand some things, and as I mention these, I want you to open your mind and apply them, understanding that we're talking about the heart of man, not the ground outside. But the illustration is given to us of the ground that a farmer might till. You see, what happens over a season of neglect, the ground gets hard. You see, over a season, a day or a week or a few months, when nothing is happening in that soil, when nothing's being stirred, when nothing's being challenged, when nothing's being changed, when we just let it go and it lays dormant and nothing has been broken up, the ground becomes hard. There's sometimes a season of neglect that this ground gets hard. Sometimes there is a season of cold days. There's some cold times where our heart is cold. And I thought it was interesting this morning that we sang as our first song, "Set My Soul Afire, Lord. Set My Soul Afire." And I thought, my, how fitting is that for the message being preached today? Because what happens is over a period of time, our hearts become cold. When we go day by day by day in the cold winter seasons of life, our hearts become hard. Are you guys awake today? Just Brother Greg awake, or is everybody awake? I like to have response. I like to know that you're awake. I like to know that you're with me, that you're not just hearing, but that you're preaching to yourself what I'm giving to you. I like to know it's registering. What I'm saying is that sometimes there's a season of harsh storms that comes. And that harsh storm causes the ground to get hard. The ground turns hard. The land becomes unfertile. The land that was once fertile, it was soft and fruitful, and things were growing there, is no longer fruitful. It's hard and unusable. The land that once drank up the water. The land that once drank up the water has become hard. And it sheds the downpour, the rain of the righteousness of God that it talks about in our text. It sheds it like a sheet of glass because the ground is hard. And the farmer can watch as it just runs off into the next field because scarcely a drop can penetrate the hard surface of the soil. You see, this land that was once tilled is now lying in waste because it's hard. Because it's hard. Break up your foul ground. This morning, for a couple of minutes, I want to preach to you an idea. Fruitful, fertile, or foul ground. You have fertile or foul ground. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you this morning that you would speak to our hearts. God, I pray that you would impress upon our mind individually the condition of our heart, where we are, what it is that you want to do. May we see the need as we embark upon this season of fruitfulness, as we drive around, God, and we see you bringing the world to life around us. We see the trees budding and the flowers blooming, the grass turning green, and all of this fruitfulness in the ground, these fields around us growing and bearing fruit. I pray, God, it would remind us of our heart, and that, Lord, our heart would be fertile ground for the righteousness of God to be rained in upon us. God, would you speak to each person here? In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, if you would, with me, would you consider the problem? Consider the problem. You see, a farmer knows the seasons. A farmer knows the seasons. He's able to look out and he sees the seasons of the year, and he sees the seasons of time that come and what happens. He sees that the season is going to bring some hard ground. Sometimes ground that was soft gets hard. He looks out and he knows that it's going to take a little more work. There are some seasons where it's cold and the ground gets hard. There's some season where there's some storms and the storms cause the ground to get hard. Maybe you're here today and you've got some storms in your life. And the storms have so consumed you and so distracted you and so had your heart, your focus all on that you've allowed the ground. We're talking about the heart that's inside, that was soft, that was fertile, that was tender to God and letting God speak to it. The storm has distracted you and now that heart has become hard. You see, there's seasons in life, and a good farmer is aware of the season. A good farmer looks out and he knows what's happening. He knows what's being done in the soil because of the season that he's in. Are you in a season right now of testing? Are you in a season of trial? Are you in a season where the burdens are heavy and the burdens are weighing down and causing your soil to be hard? A farmer also knows the soil. He knows what's going on in the soil, and he knows that sometimes that left field over there is going to take a little bit more work. Do you know the soil of your heart today? The Bible says that the heart is deceitful. Who can know it? It ought to be our goal to say, "Search me, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me." Sometimes we might not even know the condition of our own soil, but God knows. A good farmer knows the condition of the soil. He knows that it would do no good to throw seed out onto hard soil. And sometimes a man of God would get up here and he would open the seed of the Word of God and he would preach, and he could preach till the veins pop out on his neck. And he's throwing seed out, and he's throwing seed out. But the soil of your heart is so hard, it's useless. It's not penetrating at all. God could rain righteousness from heaven, as this verse talks about. And the hardness of our heart makes it so that it just sheds all that God's trying to give us. Because the soil is so hard. We're talking about a heart that was soft and was tender to God and is no longer. You go through those seasons sometimes. Sometimes the heart does get hard. And what we're talking about this morning is the idea and the fact that as a church, we want to take the next step. As a church, we want to move forward for God. And what I'm hoping is this morning that in your heart and in your mind and in your life, you'll consider where you're at. And the seed of the Word of God is not going to take root in a hard heart. The water of the Word of God is not going to penetrate the ground of a hard heart. And if you've got a heart that's been turned hard because of different things this morning, then know the soil and know that it needs to be turned. Know that it needs to be set afire again. Know that it needs to be broken up. And ask God to break up the fallow ground that you might have a fertile, fruitful soil again. We need something to come in. Something to come in and plow it up. To stir up the soil. To stir up our hearts so that it's ready to receive the Word of God. So that the seed that's planted could penetrate the surface and begin to sprout and bring life. You know, sometimes hardship causes us to get hard. Enduring hardship. You know, over there at the property, they've been putting in the pipeline. And the pipeline there has They've been bringing in all their heavy equipment. They've been driving on a bunch of the yard there with all this heavy equipment, all of their trucks, semi-trucks, dump trucks, concrete trucks, trucks loaded down with this, that, and the other. You know, the ground over there that they've been driving on is pretty hard. Sometimes in life we endure some things and it just feels like we just keep getting driven over. We just keep getting driven over again and again. You're like, I don't know if I could take any more. And they just keep driving over. And to protect ourselves, we harden our heart. We harden it. And yes, we get protected from those hardships that maybe are driving over us and just running us down over and over and over again. But we harden our heart, and then the seed of the Word of God and the water of the Word of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit can no longer penetrate the hard heart. You know, sometimes offenses cause us to harden our heart. You know, sometimes an offense comes, and we've been going along just fine. Soil's pretty good. The heart's doing pretty good. And that offense comes. And it hits us. And we allow that thing to change us. And you know what the work of the devil is? Is that offense happened over there or here or yesterday or 6 months ago? But what the devil does is he causes you in your mind to go like this. And you keep repeating that offense over in your mind. Keep mulling over what they did to you. Keep talking about what they did to you. Keep talking about how you were offended, how your needs weren't met, how this didn't happen, how that didn't happen, how you didn't get what you wanted, how you weren't fulfilled, how your needs weren't met. The devil just keeps running that over in your mind, and you're pounding down your heart, tamping the soil day after day. You've turned your own heart hard. Consider the problem. We've got a hard heart. And whether that's because of external influences that have come in and hardened our heart because of storms in our life, or because offenses that have come and we've mulled them over and continued to beat down and harden our own heart, whatever the situation this morning, I'm saying, consider the problem. A farmer knows the signs and he sees what's going on. He knows the soil and the condition of it. But he also is able to see. He knows the seasons and the soil, but he also knows the signs. He's able to look out and see what it's like. He looks over at a field and he sees this field that's not producing what it should. He sees a patch of hardened brown grass. You know where those trucks have been driving over at the property? There's no chance we're going to get green grass coming up there anytime soon. You see, he sees the signs. There's some bare spots over there. There's some problems over there. That left field or that field on the back side of the mountain, it's not producing much. What's going on? He sees the signs and addresses the problem. So would you consider with me the process? You see, our text says, break up the foul ground. Now, a farmer, I'm not a farmer. My dad said he always felt sorry for a boy that didn't get to grow up on a farm. Because he had so much fun growing up on a farm, and I won't get into what all he did, but there's a lot you learn growing up on a farm. But they got to break up the foul ground. Dad tells stories about, you know, running the disker and pulling the tractor out and all the crazy stuff that they did. But getting the tractors out in the spring and breaking up the foul ground. You'll see the tractors out right now in fields all around us. They're out there churning the soil and breaking up that ground that has gotten hard. We need to plow the ground. You know, feelings don't really matter. This morning you might not feel like breaking up the foul ground. But if you want fertile soil, you got to get out there and get it done. The farmer might not feel like getting out there and say, oh, it's kind of cold today. But you know what? If he wants to be ready to plant and he wants fertile soil, he's got to get out and break up the ground. You know, you might not feel like you need it. This morning, you might not feel like I don't need my heart stirred. I don't need my foul ground broken up. I'm not in that condition. Let me just encourage you this morning, start plowing and see what happens. Just start plowing and see what happens. You see, the young man or the young lady, she might not feel like she's homesick. She might feel like things are okay, but you know what? When she starts contemplating and thinking about home, she starts to get homesick. She starts thinking about mom and dad and her brothers and sisters and the home-cooked meal, and all of a sudden, she wasn't homesick. She was doing just fine. But all of a sudden, now her heart yearns and longs to be home with her family again. Just start plowing. We're talking about the process. How do I turn up that foul ground? How do I plow that ground? How do I stir that heart again? Let me say, you need to consider God. Just as this young lady or young man stirs up homesickness in them by considering and thinking about home, we need to consider God. You know, you cannot stir up the foul ground when your heart and mind is filled with the latest shows that are out there. You're not stirring the foul ground when your heart is consumed with the problems that you have to endure, with the money issues that you're dealing with and how your stocks are going up or going down. You're not going to stir up the foul ground when your mind is consumed with the world that's around you. You got to start considering God instead of the world. What I'm saying is, when I think about my wife, where is she? She in here? She leave me? She went downstairs. Now I can say whatever I want. I'm saying, when I think about my wife and all she does for me, it stirs my heart. I'm saying, when I think about the fact that as an expression of love, she daily washes the clothes that I just drop in a hamper. She gets them out and she irons the shirts and hangs them back in the closet. And day after day after day, I can go and grab a shirt out of the closet and put it on, and it's washed and cleaned and pressed. When I think about how she shows her love to me, she comes in the room when I'm sitting in a chair and she'll put her arm on my shoulder, or she'll put her hand on my hand, and she'll say, how's it going? She'll say, do you need anything? Can I bring you anything? Can I get you something to drink, or can I get you a snack? And I'll say, no, I'm doing okay. Or I'll say, oh, sure, a Mountain Dew would be great, or a glass of tea would be wonderful. And she goes and she gets it and she brings it to me. Unasked. Just does it. When I think of how she cooks meal after meal, I come home in the afternoon and I say, what's for supper? And she'll say, we got this and this and this. What would you like? Or she'll say, there's this and it's ready. It's on the stove and I didn't have to do anything for it, but the meal's been prepared. When I think about it, consider all that she does for me. Her love for me. Her expressions of concern. When she goes to the grocery store, she comes home with a basket full of things, not for herself. She's the one shopping. When I go shopping, I buy what I like. My wife goes shopping and she buys what I like. She goes to the grocery store and she gets vanilla Oreos and Swiss cake rolls and Doritos and Mountain Dew, hallelujah. She wouldn't touch a glass of Mountain Dew with a 10-foot pole. I mean, we've been on a trip 10 hours in the vehicle. She's dying. She's like, man, I'm thirsty. And I say, I got some Mountain Dew. I'd be glad to share it with you. She's like, no, thanks. But she buys me Mountain Dew. What I'm saying is when I think about all that, my heart is stirred. She is so good to me. She's such a wonderful wife, and I don't deserve it. My heart is softened towards her. You see, a lot of marriages get messed up because instead of thinking about their mate, they're just thinking about themselves. They're thinking about what they didn't get or what wasn't met, how they weren't satisfied or pleased, or how what they liked wasn't picked up from the store. And you know, we do that a lot with God too. You see, we get to the place where we stop thinking about all of what God does for us, and we just start thinking about what we're doing. We start to think, oh God, I did you a favor today. I went to church. I was in God's house today. And somehow that is supposed to get us our want list. You see, we need to consider God. Examine your heart. Let God examine you. Job tells us, hearken unto this and consider the wondrous works of God. Consider the wondrous works of God. I'm saying if you stop and just think about the works of God and the fact that He's our provider, He meets our needs, He owns a cattle on a thousand hills, and He says a promise to every Christian that He shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory, and He provides your needs. Is anybody here awake? God provides your needs. God meets what you need in your life. He might not provide your wants. He might not give you the Mercedes you've been looking for, but He provides your needs and a whole lot beyond that. God is our provider. He's our protector. Doesn't matter where you go in this world. It doesn't matter what you have to endure. It doesn't matter what thing you have to face. You know that God is protecting you. Not a hair on your head can get harmed unless God allows it. And it doesn't matter where you go or what you do. God is protecting you. You can go to the far reaches of Africa as a missionary, or you can walk down the streets of D.C. or of Baltimore, and I'm telling you that nothing can happen to you except God allow it, because He's a protector of those who love Him. God is your propitiation. That word means he's your substitute. He went on a cross and He died for you and I. He saved our soul from a sinner's hell and is going to take us to heaven someday. God brought us and gave us salvation. Just think about what God has done for you this morning. He preserves your life. He saved your soul. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You might have people in this world turn away from you. God will never turn away. You might have people in this world fail you, but God will never fail you. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's a father to the fatherless. Some might have a father today. Some might have a father that's gone on to be in glory already. But God the Father is with you always. He's a father to the fatherless. He is faithful when others fail. He's trustworthy. He is God. He is God. Just consider God for a little while and it'll begin to stir the soil of your heart again. And my goodness, when you consider yourself, when I think about my wife, and all that she does for me, I feel like such a horrible husband. I think about her expressions of love and her carelessness and how she always puts me first. And sometimes I wonder how long we can keep this thing going. I'm such a rotten husband. One of these days she's going to wake up and figure it out. And I'm going to be out of luck. I was at this conference and we saw a young lady that we knew when we were in college, before we were married. Mary's maiden name is Samuel, and they all called her Mary Sam. So this lady comes up and she goes, Mary Sam! And she says, wow, I can't believe, look at you. And this, we were dating at the time, and this girl used to tell us, I want to see your kids someday. She says, you guys are going to have the most beautiful kids. Mary, with your nose and his face, you guys are going to have, I still remember her telling us that. So she says, where's your kids? I want to see them. Haven't seen her one time since before we got married. She walked up, and I was going somewhere with that, but I have no idea where. She was a friend to us. She came up. This is where I was going. She looked at us, and she looked over at me, and she says, "Your wife looks exactly like she did in college." And I said, "I know. It's awesome." And I said, "And her poor husband got fat and bald." She's like, "You're not fat." And I said, "Well, the suit hides it well." She says, your wife is the same as she was in college." And she looked at me and she says, "Man, you sure lucked out with this one, didn't you?" And I said, "Yes, I did. Yes, I did." One of these days, Mary's going to wake up and find out she got the raw end of the deal. But what I'm saying is, if I feel that way looking at my marriage, how much more should I feel that way when I think about God? When I think about all that God has done for me, and then I consider my miserable recompense to Him, when I consider my endless failures to express gratitude for His love for me, to express gratitude for His blessing for me, when I fail to recognize His mercy in my life that's renewed every morning, when I fail to read the love letter that He has given me and I neglect it and put it aside and don't pick it up and it's not worth reading to me, I've got more important things to do, when I fail to give Him a call, when He loves me and He's on the other end just waiting for me to call up, for me to bow my knee and spend a few minutes talking to my heavenly Savior, and I've got other things I want to do and I go do those other things and I fail to acknowledge God on a daily basis, when I think of the times that I was self-centered, self-oriented, self-dependent, and selfish, and God still loves me, my, I feel like such a horrible saint of God. When I think about the times I failed to give after He had given me so much. When I think about how I fail and not just fall into sin, but there's times that I go after sin. Having loved this present world, I know what God wants me to do, and I push God away, and I go after the sin that I want, and I might consume it on my own lust. And God still loves me. When I think about how I have been full of pride and puffed up in myself and not acknowledging that all that I have and all that I am and all that I ever could be is because of God and what He's done in my life. And I think about the times I've been envious and jealous and covetous. I think about the heart of bitterness I've allowed to linger. And I think about the harboring the grudge against the saints of God. That God has allowed me to look at my life and I consider my heart and I say, "Woe is me, for I'm undone." I'm talking about breaking up the foul ground this morning. When you think about all that God has done, and you think about where you are, when I consider Him, my heart is stirred. The soil is turned. The wickedness is plowed up. I'm no longer comfortable to leave there in the ground those weeds that have perked up, that have began to start growing in my life. You see, we got to plow out that wickedness. Sometimes we got to plow out the wilderness. Ground that hasn't been plowed yet. God spoke to us a long time ago and He says, "Hey, you remember that backfield? The one that we said, 'Lord, I'll give you all these fields, but that one I'm not sure about yet.'" Sometimes we got to get over to that field, plow that one up for Him. There's some unclaimed territory for Him. And why do we do it? Why do we do it? Because we want to consider the performance. I'm almost done. Hang with me just a couple more minutes. Stay, keep your mind in gear. Stay with me. We do this. Why? Why do we want to break up the foul ground? Because we want to consider the performance. You see, what I'm asking you this morning is your performance reaching your potential? We're talking about fertile ground or foul ground. Are you reaping? Are you getting a yield per acre of what is possible with God? Or are you just getting by? Say, "Oh, I've got some things growing. I got a few things here or there." But is your performance matching your potential? In 1950, the average corn yield per acre was 40 bushels. Today, the average corn yield per acre is 160. Because there were some people that said, I'm not content with the yield I'm getting per acre. So I'm going to do some things to improve that. Is your performance matching your potential? Are you getting the yield per acre that you can get with God? In order to get the right yield, you got to have the right seed. And praise God, we've got the right seed. In order to get the greatest yield, you got to have the right kind of soil. And praise God, we can work on the soil. In order to get the greatest yield, you got to have the right saturation. The balance has to be right. You got to have the right amount of fertilizer and the right amount of water and the right amount of sun. Those things got to be balanced. I could take a while and preach here about the water of the Word, about getting the Son of God, about having these things balanced in your life and spending time with those shining on you that you might yield the greatest amount of fruit. We've got to seek God and we've got to surrender to His guidance in our life. We've got to surrender to His guarantee. We've been given so much by God. He's promised us so much. You know, this world has a lot to offer. One of the messages that was preached down at the conference to the young people was talking about Peter. When Peter went out and fished all night. What does the scripture say? He fished all night, but what? Caught nothing. Peter was a fisherman, yet he fished all night and he caught nothing. Why? Because he went out without God. He went to do his own thing. He went his own way. You know, this world has a lot to offer, and you might even be skilled at it, but you know what? You'll come back empty. You'll come back empty every time. But what happened when Peter went out into the same water with God? They came back with boats ready to sink. They were so full. Is your performance matching your potential? You out fishing without God? You out stirring, throwing the net and sowing the seed without God? When we go out with God, great things happen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. The message was stirring, breaking up the foul ground, having fertile soil. If you're here this morning, you're a Christian, what's the condition of the soil? How is your heart? Is your performance matching your potential? Are you getting maximum yield for the efforts that you're expending in this Christian life? Will you break up the foul ground? Will you look at the truth of your heart and where you're at and say, God, search me? And then with the right spirit, repent and ask God to forgive and to break up the foul ground that the spirit of revival might take place, that we could take the next step in our Christian life.